Can we pray for a little bit today that the Lord's anointing and the Lord's direction would be upon this place, upon our minds? Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves to you. We submit our wills to you right now, Jesus. Lord, I come against any thought or imagination that would stand against your word today. In Jesus' name, let our minds be in one accord and one focus for the glory of your name today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you and glorify you, God. You are worthy of our every praise. Our every honor is due to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I do have a couple of thoughts today. Starts with a day at work this week. And as many of us do, I'm sure, conversation with our employees led to different topics and different thoughts. And somehow we got onto the subject of things that are going on around us. You know, things that we hear in the news and you don't have to go very far or try very hard to find something bad that just happened. And the more you start to think about it, the more shocking, I guess, it is. But the more times you hear of these things occurring, things in the news, things going on even around us, you become less and less shocked, unfortunately. The Bible says that we'll come across these times, and it even talks about times where the church will be persecuted, persecutions that will come against the people of God and the kingdom of God. And I've just come to a conclusion. It's really something that should have been a conclusion a long time ago, but even though I've heard it my whole life, this world is not my home. You know, you can, as long as you're looking at the things of this world and looking on what's going on around you and all the negativity that's coming against you, I guarantee you, if you spend a lot of time in it, you're going to get frustrated and you're going to get depressed. Because this world isn't my home. It's not your home. See, we're strangers here. We're just passing through. We used to sing a song that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Hallelujah. Are you thankful today? Yeah. This world, regardless of what happens around us and the things that come against us, we have a promise and a hope that one day we can go to be with him. We don't have to spend all eternity here. We have a place to go. We have a hope and a desire. Hallelujah. So I began to think about it. And actually, I think it might have been last Sunday, possibly the Sunday before, Brother Johnstone was ministering out of Psalms chapter 3, if we could go there today. Psalms chapter 3, verse 1 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? There's an exclamation mark on there. That means this is something that he means. It's an expression. It's not just a statement that he's saying, but he's saying something with force. That explanation says he's passionate about this. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. I'm sure at one time or another, each of us has gone through a time of our lives where we feel like everything is coming against us. All of the world, all of hell even. This is something that's not unique to David, or the writer of this psalm, I believe it was David. But it's something that we go through in humanity day to day. You never know the things that'll come against you. So we can all identify with this statement. But then the writer here says in the next verse, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. You know, when things are coming against you, they call it getting down, right? Oh man, I'm sorry, you're having a down day. You're, you know, you're down. Yeah, I'm just, you know, kind of depressed. And you can actually learn a lot from watching someone's body, what do you call that? Body language, thank you. Someone doesn't even have to open their mouth. You can tell what their thoughts are, what they're thinking about, how their day's probably been, what they've been experiencing in their life lately. All you got to do is just watch them for a while. Who likes to people watch? Yeah. That's all it is. You can watch someone and tell before you even talk to them how their day's going. I'm sure at work or whenever you see someone, what's the common thing you say first time you see someone for the first time that day? How's it going? How are you? How are we doing today? Sometimes you don't even have to ask that question. But that's how we break the ice, so to say. But body language here. When you're depressed and things are coming against you and you're having a bad day, you're walking around with your head down. You know, you just kind of watch people, just kind of go through the day. Yeah, I can't wait to get through this one and hope that tomorrow turns out better because today's not how I thought it would turn out. But here in verse 3 it says, "Thou art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Again, if you can't see above this world, if your head's down, you can't see up. If you're walking around and all you can see, okay, maybe some trees over here, some sidewalks over here, your perspective is going to be limited. But if you'll look to the heavens, another verse says, "Look to the hills, beyond the hills, from where comes my help." You see, once you look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, that's where our help comes from. Hallelujah. Can we worship the Lord right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. You are my help, dear God. You are my help, Jesus, in every time of trouble. Hallelujah. There could be someone in this house right now that just needs to lift up their head. Look toward the heavens where comes your help. I encourage you today to look to Jesus. Lift your eyes upon him. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was spent some time with a friend recently. We went on a little fishing trip for the day, and we were talking about kings, and the subject came across how our modern day political structure is really far different than what it was back when the scriptures were written. We really don't understand what a king really is. I think, I mean, we picture it in the stories, we hear about it, you know, we see how it's projected to us. But really, what's a king? We have democracy now. And it's the big thing in the recent, you know, 50 years. It's been growing. But hundreds of years ago, there was a far different political structure, and it was based on a king, and a king had a kingdom. A king had the people in his kingdom. And in the book of Samuel, I believe, is when the people of Israel were tired of the structure of authority that God had set up for them, and they began to look around them at the people around them and the people that weren't called of God. And they said, you know, I like that better. That looks like a really good idea to me. And so they came to Samuel, the man of God, the prophet of God, and said, we want a king. And, you know, he tried to stop that. But they wanted a king. And God said, all right, give them what they want. So he said, you know what a king's going to do, right? You know, a king's going to take your kids. You know, he'll make them your servants. He's going to tell you what to do. You don't have a choice in the matter. When a king makes a law, that's it. I think we lose sight of what a king really is because of the social and political structure of our day today. we like to have options in the matter. We forget what sovereignty is all about. It's like, yeah, well, you know, God, you're sovereign. Yeah, I understand that. But this is America. You know, I get a vote in the matter, right? I mean, nobody can just tell me what to do, and I don't get a fair shake at it. I don't, you know, I get a fair trial. But a king in a kingdom, see, a sovereign king is Lord of everything. His say in the matter is the last say in the matter. I think it's difficult to understand at times. But when we turn to Psalms chapter 24, in verse 7, it's talking about the King of Glory. Psalms chapter 24, verse 7 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Again, we're lifting up. Who is that King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is that King of Glory? Who is that King of Glory? If we lift up our heads, the King of Glory shall come in. And when you have a king that's looking out for you, you don't have to worry about things behind you. You don't have to worry about your reputation. You don't have to worry about protecting your back. When the King of Glory, it's a Lord. He's a protector of everybody in his realm. So they can look to the Lord. They have to be obedient to him. They have to be submitted to what his will is, what his ruling is. But they can have confidence that he has my back. He is my protector. He's my Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Heiner. It was excellent. Waiting on the Lord. I'm going to take about 10 minutes with you just for a minute. We kind of have an open format around here. And Brother Johnstone is the congregational leader. Often sets this format as he feels led of the Lord to involve as few or as many in any given setting. And I'm thankful for the times that comments from the piano player have fed my soul, ministered to me. I'm thankful that some guy that takes the offering is led of the Spirit and speaks things out that begin to feed me and lead me or stop me, caution me. I'm thankful for the many vessels. I got in trouble one time. Well, one of the times that I got in trouble, I should say it that way. I got grounded all summer long. You know what that sounded like, that judgment when it came down? That was like death. 14, 15-year-olds, all summer. You're grounded for 3 months. That's how it came down. 3 months to go. We will die. And 1 week goes by, and it's all you can take. And you got all summer. Why did he have to do it for 3 months? Well, it was severe, I suppose. But the administrator of the judgment wanted to rearrange my perception, bring a correction, add a little understanding how things ought to be and ought not to be. And so, wow, that seems severe, but I promise you, to this day, I have not forgotten. Nor do I ever want to be grounded again. Anybody ever been grounded? Have you ever had to ground somebody? Week two and you're done with it. But you already pronounced it. You're grounded for a month. No driving the car. No using the phone. No. And then it's like constantly you're reminded that you, oh, that's right, you can't. Oh, that's right. Hey, would you run? Oh, you know, you can't ground. You're grounded. And it's tough to be the administrator of that. It's painful on both ends, isn't it? If you haven't, you'll understand one day. The book of Jeremiah at the 29th chapter. Israel struggled to yield up their lives, but were constantly contending for their way. They were living in the kingdom, but they really wanted their way, and their hearts were not surrendered to their Lord, the King of Kings. And so, the Lord grounded him. He didn't hate him. He didn't kill him. He didn't beat him. He grounded him. 70 years. And all the teenagers said, oh no! I get my license in a month! 70 years. Jeremiah chapter 29 at verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses and then we're going to skip some verses. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue or the rest of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Jump down to verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build you houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take you wives, go about life. Beget sons and daughters, and take wives of your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the Lord, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. You're going there. You're not leaving there. I want you there, and I want you to live there as long as I tell you to live there. Because we are going to bring an adjustment and a correction into your perspective. And when all this is said and done, you're going to be who you're supposed to be, and I'm going to be who I'm supposed to be in your eyes. Oh, getting grounded is hard. Getting grounded is painful. But oh, the circumspection that comes to an individual as they're sitting in their chair, waiting out their time, marking off the calendar, thinking. we find ourselves in difficult, difficult situations at times. Unrealizing it was God that led me there. Brother Heine, you made it very clear. We're in America. We do what we want to do when we want to do it, and nobody's going to tell us anything different for it. Seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Jump over to verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. This isn't eternal. This is going to have an end. It's going to be uncomfortable, and you're not going to like a lot of things about it. But I've caused you to be in this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. There's a fine line. Between living among the people of Israel and calling on the God of Israel. Sometimes we think our association should bring some automatic membership plan with him and in his kingdom. But oftentimes we can hear his voice. We receive of his word. And like Israel, turn right around and live our life the way we want to live it. And then the Lord says, as he watches from a distance. See, he hears. He's the inspirer of that word through various vessels. And he hears the receiving. He sees the receiving of it. And then he watches. The action of it as though, well, that was just like a program. It's looking in a mirror and then walking away. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me, and when you shall search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. That's his love. You know, the Bible says he chastises them whom he loves. And some of our difficult situations, we look at in different ways rather than his loving hand as a father to a son. I'm about to ground you. Or you've been grounded. I'm not kicking you out of my household. I'm not leaving you. I love you. But this needful season of time, whether it's 7 days, 7 months, 7 years, 70 years. God alone knows what's needful to bring everything back around so that we stand before Him in rightness. And He is once again renewed in our eyes as the Lord of all, the King of kings, my Redeemer, my Savior, the lover of my soul. Yes. Praise God. I don't know where you think you are right now in your situation, but I know what I feel from the presence of the Lord today. Oh, He loves you. Oh, He loves you. His desire is not to bring pain and difficulty to you, but to have your heart wholly turned, amen, towards Him.
I talk to the Lord for a moment. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We need You right now, Father. We need You right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Halalabos oromari alalabashi anoromaki. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Kendrick, can you throw that picture up there real fast? Is this something that you see often driving down the road? If I was to ask you today what this means, most every one of us in the building could respond as to what we know, what we've been taught this sign means. But if I was to ask you how you respond to it in your day-to-day driving, that would be a completely different answer. What does this mean to you personally? As a driver of a vehicle, when you see this sign, if there's nobody around, just blow through it. Keep on moving. Don't even let the foot touch the brake. How do you react when you roll up to a yield sign and there's somebody else who's kind of already moving through that area? You're supposed to stop, yield to them, and let them go. But who yields to who? There's some crazy neighborhoods in Seattle. I drove through some places sometimes where everybody, instead of a four-way stop, it's a four-way yield. It's like, really? I just treat them like four-way stops because everyone else treats them as like just straight-on through affairs. I can't tell you how many near misses I've had at these four-way yield intersections and neighborhoods. Because that sign means something different to everybody. Yield. That word yield, if you were just to go, I'm going to give you a little bit of foundation here and then we'll move on to some scripture. But if you were to go to the dictionary, you would find several different definitions depending on how you were to use this. One definition is to give forth or produce by a natural process in return, speaking like with farm crops. Another one is to produce or furnish. Another one is to give up, is to superior power or authority. One is to give up or surrender. One is to give up or over, relinquish or resign. All kind of broad statements, different in every application. You could apply it to investments and the return that they yield. You could apply it to planting a crop and the harvest that it yields. And then it starts moving into more of what we're looking at today, and that is, number one, the process of giving up control to someone who's superior, someone who's an authority, or the process of surrendering oneself, or the process of relinquishing or resigning or giving up or turning over something to someone. When I roll up to that intersection and I see that sign and there's someone that's already in this intersection or is already starting to cross into the intersection, by yielding to them, I'm giving up my place and I'm saying, you go ahead. When I start down that off ramp onto the freeway and I see that yield sign, I'm immediately giving up my place and I'm allowing things that are already moving to continue to pass by, and then if I'm a good driver, I fall in place beside them, behind them. If I'm a bad driver, I come to a dead stop and I cut everyone off, and then we have traffic. If you were to go to the scripture, there's this word yield is mentioned a whole bunch of times in scripture, and it's mentioned, it's used in different contexts, but there's the one context that I want to share with you today. The original from the New Testament, the original word, the original Greek word that was used in these scriptures through the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians and Colossians that we're going to read today, was a word pronounced peristemi. It is from the Strong's word number G3936. It has several definitions here. It says to place beside or near, to set at hand, to present, to proffer, to provide, to place a person or thing at one's disposal, to present a person for another to see in question, to present or show, to bring, be near, to bring into one's fellowship or intimacy, to present, to show by argument, to prove, to stand beside, stand by or near, to be at hand, be present, to stand by, to stand beside one, a bystander, to appear, to be at hand. It goes on and on and on. Well, what I did is I took that G3936 word, and I searched in the scriptures, and I was shocked at how many times it comes up. Because the translators took that word and kind of used it broadly throughout a whole bunch of scriptures. We're going to read those scriptures today. And so that the word yield and the word present are interchangeable. The translator used present in one application, in one context, and then used yield in another context. But the words were interchangeable. The Greek had the same word used in each context. Interpreter, the translator decided, you know what? This sounds better in English this way. It sounds better in English that way. But when I step back and I begin to look at scripture from that perspective, that this word that is used has the same meaning, the same context as the word yield, it opens my eyes to things that are required of me, the things that the Lord is looking to me for. First scripture I want to draw your attention to is Romans, the 6th chapter. We're going to read a few verses here in Romans 6. Romans 6, 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in he died unto sin once, but in he that liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12 says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. That word reign there is implying that sin could take control. sin could become the king of your mortal body. And in the process of it becoming the king of your mortal body, in the process of it becoming in control of your mortal body, it would be you obeying the lust of your flesh. 13 goes on to say, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That word yield there can also be removed and replaced without changing the meaning with the word present. Neither present ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That changes things a little bit. We like to blow through the King James Version sometimes and say, oh, don't yield yourself. Yield what? That's a sign on the side of the road. But when we understand that, when we look at verse 12 and we say, by not letting sin reign, by not letting sin be king in this mortal body, I am, by that process, not presenting. I'm not making available. I'm not showing my body, my members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But I'm presenting myself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. A couple more verses. For sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. That's the problem with the grace doctrine. It's a misunderstanding of grace. It's the misconstrusion. It's the contrusion. It's the mixology of grace and mercy. It's a lack of understanding of the difference between grace and mercy. And so people believe that by the grace of God, they can do whatever they want. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield or present yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded or presented your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So we see here, as mankind, we're presented with choices. I can yield myself or present myself a member of righteousness, a member to righteousness, which righteousness is the process, holiness is the product. This is why it's really difficult to preach holiness without righteousness. And it's impossible to understand holiness without righteousness. And that's why self-righteousness never leads to holiness and can't lead to holiness. There's no way possible. Those paths don't even cross. I just lost about half of you. Holiness is the byproduct of righteousness. Righteousness is the process of becoming holy. Righteousness being right standing with God. When I put myself by his grace in right standing with God, the product of that, the result of that, is me being in holiness, living in holiness to him and with him. I can't. The problem is we've tried to work at this backwards. We try to find holiness, believing that in being holy and living in holiness and walking in holiness that we're somehow made righteous. Thus creating a whole bunch of frustration and people who people that do that get frustrated and then they leave church and they say, well, those people are legalistic. They're just living by a bunch of rules and regulations and they don't love people. Well, the problem is you never received or walked in his righteousness. You never accepted his righteousness. You were trying to live in your own righteousness. You were trying to be good, be right by doing right. And when that didn't work, all you had then left was a list of rules and regulations that you couldn't hold up to anyway on your own. And so you failed at both. You gave up and you blamed God and his word and the church and everyone around you and then walked away. When I pursue right standing with him by his grace, grace is his unmerited favor. When I pursue righteousness by his grace, no, I don't deserve righteousness. By his grace, he gives me, he puts me in right standing with him. I can't earn that. I can't do enough good things to put myself in right standing with him. No matter how many bad things I do, and no matter how many temptations I fall to, and no matter how many times I stumble and fall in the process, I can't do enough penance. I can't beat myself up at night and talk myself into stupor, convincing myself of how worthless I am for all of my failures. I can't do enough of that for God to finally say, oh, it's about time you get it, you idiot. You are pathetic. Now you're in good standing with me. That's Catholicism at its greatest. While I'm there telling myself, convincing myself through the process of time of how worthless I am, he's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who you are. My approach has to be one of, Father, I'm just a lump of clay. And I'm going to present myself. I'm going to yield myself to you, a member that falls to temptation, that makes mistakes, that makes poor choices. And I need your mercy. I need your mercy to reach down and spare me. And then I need your grace, Father, to empower me so that I don't make the same mistake next time, because his grace has the ability to keep me from making mistakes, to keep me from making those poor choices. You say, oh, those are just part of the process of life. If you're not walking in grace, that's part of the process of life. But when I'm living and walking in grace, his grace has the ability to keep me. The writer of John, it was either 1 John or 2 John, said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless. He has the ability by his grace to keep me from sin, to keep me from falling into sin. He has that ability, but I don't trust him because I trust myself more than I trust him, and I trust my own abilities. I heard Brother Wright one time make fun of the idea of self-discipline. I never thought of it before because I always try. I took a disciplines class in school. Get some discipline in my life, some self-discipline. Boy, he shot that whole theory to pieces. And then I realized, yeah, I can't control anything about me. Look at me. Don't make me start the Twinkie story again. We're pushing lunchtime. I don't have the ability to control me. Come on. Nick can't keep Nick from sinning. Nick can't keep Nick from stumbling and falling. It's stupid of me to think that I can keep myself from falling. I have to remind myself every single day, Father, I need your grace today. I messed up yesterday. Forgive me for not trusting your grace to keep me from giving in to temptation. Forgive me for not trusting your grace and flying off the handle and knowing that your grace could have kept me from being angry and sinning. Your grace has that ability. But I didn't trust your grace. I trusted my own instincts. And next thing I know, it's out of control. I've said things I regret. And I know that I've been angry and I have sinned. And then I beat myself up. Oh, man, you're so worthless. Who do you think you are? Why do you think God loves you? I haven't trusted his grace. That grace that has the ability to keep me from falling. That's why I have to yield my member. I have to yield this body. I have to present this body. And in the presentation, in the yielding of myself to him, I am in that process accepting his grace. And when I accept his grace and I'm living and walking in grace, then and only then am I in right standing with him. That's righteousness by definition and right standing with God. My righteousness is his filthy rags. Don't even make me get into that. What that means. My righteousness is my attempts to make myself right. Show up and sit on the back pew enough Sundays in a row, and then I can move up six rows and then move up six more rows, and then I can get back to the front row. Now I'm good. No, that's not it. If that was the case, all of us would be on the back row every Sunday. Can we pray right now? In Jesus' name. See, it's no different in ministry. We talked a couple of Wednesday nights ago about the flow, spirit of ministry. Right? If you were here, we remember that. Spirit of ministry, the flow of ministry. A minister, a teacher, has to make a decision. A soul winner has to make a decision every time they're presented with the opportunity to speak or to teach. To either trust the grace of God and yield themselves to the flow of the Spirit, or to trust their own intellect, to trust their own gathering ability of understanding in Scripture, to trust their own presentation, to trust their own layout, or to present themselves a member to His Spirit. To yield themselves a vessel. That's a term we use a lot. Yield yourself a vessel. Present yourself a vessel. By that statement, I am saying, I am admitting that I'm going to yield myself to the flow of his Spirit. I don't remember if I wrote it down or not, but there is... I didn't. I spared you. It's Timothy, as the word seen, study to show thyself approved unto God. That word show has the same Greek root word as the word yield and the word present. Study to yield thyself approved unto God. That seems like a conflicting statement. Study to yield yourself unto God. No, it's not. By the process of me pouring myself into his word and allowing his word to be poured into me, put into me, I'm studying. And then when I'm presented with the opportunity to teach, to speak, to witness, I yield that vessel that his word has been poured into. I yield that a member of his spirit. I yield to the flow of his spirit. And he chooses in the same hour what ought to come out. His spirit becomes the filter. Well, you know, we look at the disciples in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and Jesus told them, you're going to go out on these trips. He sent them out, and he said, don't take a script. Boy, there's a lot of people couldn't handle that today. Leave your notes at home. Boy, you talk about scary. There was a day and hour in my life where I'd have got the tremors. I'd have stuttered and stammered because I relied on that. I trusted in that. That was yielding myself a member. That was presenting myself a member of my own understanding. And through the process of time and by his grace, I learned that as a minister of the gospel, as a spirit-filled believer, I must yield myself a member. I'm studying and yielding myself approved unto God, which is my reasonable service. I have a responsibility as a believer to yield myself to the flow of the Spirit. What he says to say, I say. When he's done talking, I'm done talking. Now I get to tell him, Brother Heiner. This morning in prayer, I felt strongly like he was supposed to be involved today. And so I went to get my phone to text him to tell him, hey, be prepared today. The Lord stopped me. That's not fair. I got here about 10:15. I walked up on the platform and I was going over to tell him. Hey, be ready to speak today. I thought, this is plenty, 45 minutes. That's plenty of notice. He'll have a peace about this. I walked up there, got ready to say something to him. Nope, couldn't say a word. So we got down to the prayer room. It was 10:30. I thought, now I can say something. Nope. About 10:55, I got the release. Go tell him he's supposed to speak today. So I went to him, and I said exactly this. I'm going to put you on the spot today. I want you to be ready to start. And I said, and he asked him after church, I said, just trust the flow of the Holy Ghost. Don't get all worried. Need a couple days notice. Just trust the flow of the Holy Ghost. Present your members. Yield your members to him. He can take that and then he can use it. You see, wow, we're just going. I hear a lot of people say, well, I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. They use that term a lot. I want to be used of God. I want God to use me. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. But give me a couple weeks' notice. I need a month. Give me at least a week. Could you give me 24 hours? I want to be used of God. I need to make sure I pray that week. I want to make sure I read, get in the word that week. Oh, I could quote the scripture, be ready. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a member, being a vessel that's yielded. Yielded to his spirit, presenting myself as a vessel that is available. Father, I've been in fellowship with you. I've been in fellowship with your word. I've been in fellowship with your spirit. I'm ready. And when you get the little note, you're taking up the offering today. And you present yourself. And the Lord begins to flow through you. 2 Corinthians, or actually Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. That's the same word, same root word. That ye yield, present, yield your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You have a responsibility here today. It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's reasonable for you to yield your bodies. Present your bodies to him. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you, or that you may yield yourself as a chaste virgin of Christ. This is the same guy who wrote to the church and said, you got a decision to make. You either yield yourself a member of unrighteousness. You either allow the lust of your body, the lust of your flesh, to control your members. Or you yield to the Spirit of God. You yield yourself as a member of righteousness. Now he's writing to them and saying, hey, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Yield yourself a member to his Spirit, so you can be presented to him. Colossians 1. I got a lot of scriptures in Colossians 1, but I'm going to jump ahead. You know the context of this. He's saying, Paul, an apostle, blah, blah, blah. We give thanks to God our Father since we heard of your faith. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience, long suffering, delivered us from the power of darkness. He is ahead of the church. He is ahead of the body, the church, who is the beginning. This is the context of all, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. 20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Remember what I said in the beginning? In my mind, I alienate myself. I separate myself. He's reconciled me in the body of his flesh through death in 22 to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Same word there. Could be interpreted yield, present. This seems like a really easy decision until I start the process of trying to decide it, and my flesh says, oh. But I want control. It's America. I want control. I want it my way. Let's stand together. Talk to the Lord right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Halabo sheki arande alalabo koba. Halalabos oromori alalabahashi arondo robaye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Halabo romashi karande alalabo romori alalabahayeki. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ilo romande ala la massi curuburi ala la maia shanare ala la boco baie. Inondo romassi chi arrondo romuri ala la baie. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ilo roburi ala la maia shanare aromuromachi ala la marrondo romassi chi anne. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Halaboseki arande alaboshorobaki anaye. Hilo ronde aramashiki arondo roburi alabaki arande alabaye. Thank you, thank you. This altar's open if you want to come and talk to the Lord. Present yourself before Him. Yield your body. Yield your spirit to Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I need you today, Father. I need you today, Father. Hikarade aroborobashiki arade arabaye. Ria la la ba shi ya ro ro ria la la ba ka ya ro no ro ria ra ba ye.